You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be a Constitution Party meeting at Monroe, Louisiana, at the Monroe Covenant Church Building, Highway 165 North, across from Skate Town. Seems to me I'll be having the meeting in Skate Town. Constitution Party's all about freedom, but nevertheless, if you'd like to learn about the Constitution Party and you live in Louisiana or any of the adjoining states, there will be a meeting Monday, March 13th at 7 p.m. in the Monroe Covenant Church Building, Highway 165 North, across from Skate Town. While you guys are at the meeting, you'll find me across the street, skating. Probably with Tim. Although, if he falls, there better not be any sheeple under him, I can guarantee you that. Tonight, folks, was an interesting evening. Yep. In these little cow towns, you never know what's going to happen. You see, while I was eating dinner down at the local beanery, I witnessed a squirt out at the Wussdown Corral.
There's nothing like the face of a chick eating a Hershey bar. There's nothing like it you'll ever see. A face as happy as it can be. There's nothing like the face of a kid when he's munching on the greatest taste around. Hershey, the great American chocolate bar. There's nothing like the face of a kid when he's munching on the greatest taste.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a highway patrolman licking whipped cream off the bill of his hat? Well, I did tonight, folks. Like I said, this was a very interesting evening. And, of course, I was just an innocent bystander, I think. Today, ladies and gentlemen, was my good friend Tim's birthday. We had a party. Katie kept trying to fill me up with sugar and spice and everything nice. The piece of cake that I was served, folks, was better related to the cornerstone of the Capitol building than it was any piece of cake I've ever seen in my life. I am suffering from a sugar bomb attack, so there's no telling what's liable to happen during this hour. I'm going to open the phones because I know you all like the shows that Tim Lefferts does when I'm away and even when I'm here, simply because he's got a lot of good things to tell you. So I'm going to open the phones and let you all wish Tim a very wonderful and happy birthday. I wish you could have been at the squirt out, but I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to tell you what happened there. All I can say is it weren't no Wyatt Earp, and Ferris don't look like no Dalton gang. But when it was over, oh me, looked more like the Pillsbury Doughboys to me. Big, round, and white. That's about all I can say about it. And so was the restaurant and the floor and everybody within squirting distance. It was a good time had by all. The number, if you'd like to call in and wish Tim a happy birthday, is 602-337-2524. And we'll go right straight to the phones. Good evening. You're on the air.
Well, hello, Mr. Cooper. This is Rick in Das Kapital. Enjoyed your show for a long time, and would like to salute you and your staff. Have had a very enjoyable time, and I'd like to say hello to the Quiver in Beltsville, Maryland. That's it for me. Thank you. Good night.
You're welcome. Gee, no happy birthday for Tim. Well, that's okay. I forgot to mention, folks, today 1,000 copies of Veritas went out in the mail. 1,000 copies out in the mail today. A lot of people around here were working and working hard. And if you hear any noises right now, it's because I'm trying to get this stupid extra microphone out of my way. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, hello there, Bill, and happy birthday to Tim. And I hopefully there wasn't any 308s in that whipped cream there, okay?
No, I don't think so. Although, after it was all over, we found three real bullet holes in the window, and nobody knows how they got there. Nobody was hurt, and we couldn't find any bullets. So, your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, okay. You were hammered pretty good tonight on a Mark Kornke show from some caller called in there.
Mark Kornke?
Yeah.
You mean the fake, phony liar who has for years been trying to contact me with phony bullshit information that he is an intelligence officer of the Air Force Office of a Special Investigation, and then all of a sudden switched it to Army Intelligence Officer of the 4th Ranger Battalion that doesn't even exist?
Oh, yeah, that's the fellow. I still like to listen to him and get a good laugh, and that fellow from Wolverine Productions, he was talking to you. He said he sent you some information you never answered back to him.
I don't answer a lot of people. I'm one person here, and I get thousands of letters a week. You're lucky if you get an answer from me, I got to tell you.
Yeah, well, you know, he said that, well, this guy that called up, you know, said he listened to you quite a long time, and he's not going to listen to you anymore. I guess he doesn't like to listen to the truth, because everything I've checked out that I can, because you put out so much information, everything I've checked out is rung true here.
Good, then I don't have to talk so forcefully anymore, because that's one less sheeple that I have to reach.
That's right there, Bill. Well, my name is Dave, and I'm in Northern Illinois, and I am going to get the Veritas newspaper, and I'm going to pass it around after I'm done reading it, too.
Great. And keep on listening to old Kornke. He's good for a laugh anyway.
Oh, yes. He's a lot of fun to listen to. I get a good laugh while I'm down here reloading ammunition there,
yeah.
Bill. So you have a good night, and Tim, happy birthday again, and we'll catch you later, Bill.
Thank you, and thank you for Tim.
And God bless you.
Yeah, the only thing that changes in Kornke's routine is who he works for, who he is. And every investigation into who he is says he ain't who he says he is and never was and never will be. Good luck, Kornke. You must have been frustrated in your applications for transfer to intelligence in whatever service you were in, because up to this date, we can't find out whether you were even in the service. And all requests for documentation from you has met with a lot of promises and absolutely nothing of substance. Nothing whatsoever. That's a shame. Oh, he's also the guy who stole Linda Thompson's photographs of the installation at the Amtrak facility in Indianapolis, Indiana, and turned those space heaters in those large buildings into crematoriums. And I could go on and on and on. It's all bullshit. Kornke is a total bullshit. He's a fake. He's a phony. I've asked him for several years before we even made a comment to furnish some kind of documentation on his background, especially when he changed it from Air Force to Army. And he has always promised, and he's promised many other people also, and never, ever furnished one single shred, not one document, absolutely nothing. If you want to keep listening to this clown's, go ahead. It's like Rush. You know, Rush is a great entertainer. I listen to Rush. He makes me laugh. and so does Cornkey. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. Yes, I was calling to, from Montana here to see if you might be interested in having one of the fellows on the air there that was involved in that roundup thing over there.
What roundup thing?
Where the fellows ended up getting arrested over there in the sheriff's office.
Yeah, we might be interested in hearing what they got to say. Everything that we've looked into and all the people that we've talked to said that it had nothing whatsoever to do with the militia, and that they were actively engaged in making threats against officials and were filing phony commercial liens on people who owed them no money whatsoever.
That's not entirely the true story, though. That may be the major media story.
No, we didn't get this from major media. We got this from people who live in the town.
That live in the town, eh?
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is to hear what the men that actually were involved have to say about this.
Well, that's why I said we'd be happy to hear from them. I'd like to hear their side of the story. I imagine the listeners would also.
Okay, because what we'd have to do is arrange a time that this man would have to call collect now, because he called from a detention center in the Yellowstone Detention Center in Billings.
Uh-huh.
And so what he has to do is he has to call collect, he has to accept the charges, and he's on a timer. He's only usually allowed to speak for around 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And so it's kind of tricky, but if you're interested in the truth on the issue, it would be worth your while, I think.
Well, we're interested in his story. I don't know whether his story is the truth or not, and I don't think you do either, but everybody will have to make their own decisions about that.
Okay, well, that could be possible. So when should he call in to where you would have a good opportunity to get in?
If you want to relay a message to him, he can call in tomorrow night at exactly the time that this broadcast starts. And if everybody else will stay off this line, you'll get to hear what he has to say.
Okay, so that would be 10 o'clock your time then, right?
10 o'clock my time, yes.
Okay, that's the same as ours. Very good. Well, we'll try to get that set up for him. And then that way more folks can get an understanding of what's actually happening here, because...
Well, what we'll get is both sides.
Well, I think that if you knew more of the facts, you could probably get a better understanding of what really is going on.
What somebody says to me is never facts, whether it's the people who live in the town, the law enforcement people, or the people who were involved, or the people who are in jail. Facts are completely different and sometimes hard to get a hold of.
Okay.
What you're talking about is believing somebody's story, no matter which side they're on, and that's not facts, my friend.
Well, I do have a pretty good idea of a lot of the facts on this particular case. And
well,
I do know that the media...
Whoa, give me some facts.
Give you some facts?
Yeah, quit talking about facts and give me some facts.
You want some facts? I'll give you some facts. Okay, the two men that were arrested earlier in the day around 3:30 or so were men that were associated with the Free Men. Okay, later on that day, some other men went to go pick up a radio that had been lent to one of them.
What are the Free Men?
The Free Men were basically there's some fellows over there around Roundup that are involved in common law as opposed to commercial code law, and they have figured out ways to perfect liens on individuals.
Uh-huh. Now you're getting to exactly what I found out in that town from the people who live there.
Okay, yeah. Now in an unrelated, as far as the Free Men goes, what you had was you had some men that had gone over to make a business transaction as far as they were interested in purchasing radios. And so one of the men from Eureka Comtronics from Eureka, Montana, took radio gear over to try to show them some samples. Well, one of the radios was lent to one of the Free Men who had been arrested at around 3:30. Okay, they showed up at around 5:30. Two men entered the building, unarmed. One had a radio, because he's in the radio business. And what happened was that another man that was with them, the third man, stayed in the foyer, or at the door entry, where there was a sign that said, no firearms allowed beyond this point. He stayed there. He had a concealed carry permit for 24 years, and he observed the sign and held his position. The two men entered in the building, and they wanted to see about getting the radio back. Well, the sheriff's deputies, from what I understand, were intimidated by the fact that the one man had a radio on. He's got a radio, they say. Well, they end up with shotguns in their back. So what happens is you get this big old scurry going on down there. These guys end up being arrested. They end up laying on the floor for about 5-6 hours or so, I guess, handcuffed behind their back. And they're charged with what's called, it's kind of a strange charge. It's called criminal, let me see if I can find it here. I'll try to find it for you. Oh, okay, there we go. Felony intimidation. is one charge. And that one wasn't enough, I guess, so they tried to come up with another one called attempted tampering, trying to tamper with evidence. Well, they never had any evidence. They tried to get the radio back that belonged to them, you see, which they never got. That's a second charge. Another charge that's supposed to be a backup charge, I guess, against them is called criminal cynicalism. This is an interesting charge. Does anybody understand what that means?
I have no idea what it means. It's very intriguing, though.
Okay. So basically what we have is we have these three men who get arrested when they try to stop by and pick up radio. They are not associated with the free men in Roundup. They are people who are from northwestern Montana, in fact.
What were they doing in the courthouse picking up a radio?
Like I say, one of the radios had been lent to one of the free men. Okay.
Where was the free man?
Well, they had been arrested previously that day.
And they were in the courthouse?
They were in the jail. It's a combination sheriff's department jail situation over there, from what I understand.
Well, from what I heard, this happened at the courthouse.
In the courthouse, eh? Well, I don't know. It could possibly be. I don't know what they...
Well, now, wait a minute. You said you're giving us the facts. What do you mean it could possibly... How do you know all this stuff?
I don't know about it being the courthouse.
But how do you know everything else that you've told us?
I have had direct contact with one of the men in the detention center right now.
In other words, you're telling us what he told you.
Okay. Are you going to believe what Linda Thompson has to say and she doesn't even know the people?
You don't understand. I don't believe what anybody has to say. I don't even believe my mother today.
Really?
There's too much deception in this world. I wouldn't believe any of them. I wouldn't believe the sheriffs. I wouldn't believe any of those people had anything to do with it. I would try to find objective witnesses who had absolutely nothing to do with it, if there are any, and I might have a tendency to put some weight on what they said, but I still wouldn't even 100% believe them.
Okay, well, let's take this from an objective viewpoint, then.
Well, you've already proven that you're not very objective. Call back when you are. Folks, this happens all the time. The guy said he had the facts, and I knew damn well he didn't have any facts at all, so I let him go ahead and trap himself, and then I just asked him one simple question, how do you know? And he knows because he went in and saw one of those guys while they're in jail, and they told him. And those are the facts. Just the facts, ma'am. And once again, we have exposed the facts for the world. The fact is, nobody really knows what happened there. But from what I understand, from people in the town, have nothing to do with any of these people. They were making a lot of threats to a lot of people. And I have a tendency to think that because the people in the town who have relayed this information to us have nothing to do with these people, have no reason to lie, that might be at least closer to the facts than what you just heard. Also, we've been telling you for probably a year and a half that John Trockman should never be the leader of a militia. That all of the information that comes out of the militia of Montana that we have ever read, seen, or touched, or investigated has been total, 100% bullshit, and I can guarantee you that that is a fact. We also know that Bob Fletcher, at one time, was working very closely with government agents in sting operations and is probably an agent provocateur and a snitch. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Phil.
Yeah.
Calling from northwest Montana myself. And on radio station KGEZ 600, I heard an interview with one of the men from jail.
Uh-huh.
And he pretty much stated what that gentleman just said.
Well, of course. Probably would.
The courthouse thing is in the valley.
I have no idea where it is.
Right. This situation is in Roundup. A whole lot of situations up here. A mayor deposited $20 million in money orders.
Wait a minute, how do you know that?
It was in the paper. It's all over the paper out here.
Hey, they just wrote a front page article about me in the Arizona Republic that was nothing but lies.
This is Cascade. The city is Cascade.
I don't care if it's Cascade. Just because they wrote it in the paper doesn't mean it's a fact. Give me some facts.
John Trockman is one of the...
Good night, dummy. When you guys want to call up and not be emotional and talk facts, document, prove, cite, give us some proof, I'll talk to you. Otherwise, All you're doing is demonstrating loyalty to people that you probably should not be loyal to, given the facts that we know about John Truckman. You're making a big mistake. But that's your mistake to make. Just don't make it on this broadcast. Now, you want to call up with some documentation, with some facts, with some real things we can put our teeth into? Do it. But don't call up and accuse the mayor of depositing millions of dollars because the newspaper said so. Newspapers said a lot of things about me over the years that I can prove. 1,000,000% is a lie, with documentation, with facts, not with innuendo and not with newspaper articles. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Good.
My name is John. I'm from Long Branch, New Jersey. I talked to you about 3 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was reading your book, and you have a little section here about the Vatican, and they founded the Pope John Paul II Center for Prayer and Study for Peace at 1711 Ocean Avenue in Spring Lake, New Jersey.
Yes.
And I went over there. It used to be a mansion owned
yes.
by Elmer Bobst.
That's correct.
And he was, I guess he was friends with Richard Nixon.
That's correct also.
And I was looking through some microfilm at the Monmouth County Library.
Uh-huh.
And I saw a photograph from 1968 in the summer. And Richard Nixon was in Spring Lake, like, shaking hands with kids and people and stuff. So I realized there was probably, you know, you were telling the truth about that. And I rode over to that mansion with a friend of mine. And we were looking in the windows and stuff just to see if we could discover anything, you know, just to check it out. And I guess they moved the center or it's not there anymore. And I was wondering if you knew if the center was relocated.
Yeah, it was relocated a long time ago. We don't know where it was relocated to. They also moved the Center for Democratic Studies in Santa Barbara, where the New States Constitution was created, that will probably replace the United States Constitution if this con under disguise actually takes place.
Well, was there supposed to be... There was a supercomputer down there in the Pope John Paul II Center for Prayer.
We have to understand that what you would call a supercomputer today would have been something... What you would call a normal computer today
okay.
would have been a supercomputer back then.
All right. And I was just wondering what exactly they were up to at this Center for Prayer.
You have to remember that in 1988, I bought an XT.
Uh-huh.
Cost me $800. It was the cheapest computer extant at that time and was considered to be just a little below the state of the art.
I just wanted to ask you another question, because I also read in your book about the flying saucers or flying discs.
Well, everybody says they read that, but usually they don't. Go ahead.
And I was just wondering, do you think that, I guess your thesis or the information you saw when you were in the Navy was that the technology was developed by the Germans and the Americans. I think that's what you were saying. And they're using this as an excuse that it's aliens to frighten us into accepting some type of world military dictatorship.
Well, actually, what I saw in the Navy was documentation that said that this technology was developed by extraterrestrial beings and belonged to extraterrestrial beings. When I began to do the research that was necessary to bring any support to this, I began to find out that didn't hold up. But the truth of the matter is that this technology was probably first developed by the Germans in an effort to gain air superiority when they began to lose it during World War II. They did bring this technology to the state of test flight, but never were able to develop it to the point of being a viable weapons platform. And the more I began to look, the more I began to find references in the past, going all the way back to 1917, of developing an external threat to the Earth in order to facilitate the formation of a one-world government. And that's what I said in my book at the end of the chapter in conclusion number 5. I said that that scenario is the one that I believe is most probable.
Do you think that they actually, whoever's controlling or using these craft, do you think that they've actually flown to other solar systems or star systems? Do they have the capability to do that, from what you know?
Somebody's out there. I don't know who. But based upon all the research that I've done, I would say it's probably us using a secret technology. I believe that the space program under NASA is a fraud. It's sort of like the Roman circus. It was used to funnel large sums of money into other places and kept the public eye off the real technology for a lot of years.
Okay. Also, I've been trying to talk to some of the local firemen around here because some friends of mine have been telling me that they've seen these white FEMA trucks around, and they're close friends of mine, and I know how you insist on always checking things out.
Absolutely.
For yourself.
I've been, let me tell you something, let me tell you why I do that, because I've been trapped by disinformation too many times. I've been fooled by my own emotions. I've been fooled by false loyalties. I thought people were my friend when they turned out to be just exactly the opposite. So I don't believe anybody or anything anymore unless it checks out in facts and documentation and everything else. And if that impinges on everybody's little emotional life, and if they can't live with that, well, you know, it's very easy to change the dial. That's my attitude. I really, frankly, my dear Scarlett, I don't give a damn.
Well, all right, all this stuff I read in this magazine that I got in the mail. It was called American Freedom Networker, and it had those pictures of the concentration camps or so-called concentration camps. I don't know if they're real or not. Do you think that the New World Order people are actually planning on setting up concentration camps for exterminations, or is there any truth to that at all?
I've documented it. Not just gone out and take pictures of some place surrounded by a fence. I've documented it. We have discovered the documentation in the government. A lot of it is published in my book. And if you say you read my book, then you know about that. I mean, it came right out of the court records, right out of the government documents. And the basic research that put me on the trail was done by somebody else who actually took it to court and sued the government to find out whether it was true or not. And what happened is the government admitted that it was true, but the judge wouldn't do anything because he said nobody had been injured.
This was, I think, in reference to the FEMA camps.
No, this was the United States Army's plans to set up concentration camps for United States citizens in the United States of America. It's in my book. There's a whole chapter on it.
I guess one last question I have is, how long do you think we still have before this calamity?
You ran out of time in 1945 when Truman signed the United Nations Treaty and Congress ratified it. Everybody's been so asleep since then, it's a done deal, my friend. It's all over. What do you mean? How much time do we have? It's all over. It's a fait accompli. And most people are out there still denying it as the United States military forces run around the world being the police force for the United Nations. And Americans are scratching their heads saying, "Tain't so." Read Veritas. It's documented in Veritas. I don't just say it. It's documented. Reference to the actual laws, to the documents, to the executive orders, to the quotes, to the source. I don't call up and say, "I talked to this guy in jail and these are the facts." Nope.
Well, I actually went out myself to in Spring Lake.
I'm sorry, but you just had your last question. I'm not trying to be rude, but you've had much more time than I normally ever give anybody. So thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Good night. Got to take a break, folks.
do you want when you gotta eat something? It's gotta be sweet, and it's gotta be a lot, and you gotta have it now. What do you want? Lip, knock, and whip, stock, and potty, rock, and ink, and knock, and drill, rock, and cobble, rock, and cracker, jack, and boo, jack, and jack. Candy, coated, popcorn, peanut, caramel, that's what you get in Cracker Jack.
Nanner, 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 nanner. Folks, if you want some real money, call Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. And I'm not going to go through a lot of this because I just gave them a whole page in Veritas for free as a thank you for all the support that they've given me and the hour of the time for the last year and about three quarters of a year. So, if you want to talk to some good people and get some good information and find out how you can own some real money, call 1-800-289-2646. Do it right now. You know, we all tend to procrastinate. The sooner we do it, the more assured we are that we will actually do it. Happy birthday, Tim, from everybody here. And may you have many, many more. I know you can't look forward to your hair turning gray. But maybe we can dye it black again or something. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, happy birthday, Tim, from another Tim. I'm 25 years old.
You need to, you know what you need to do? You need to put your mouth right in front of your phone and say that all over again because we could barely hear you.
Oh, gracious goodness. Must be the phone. Okay, I, firstly, three callers back, there was this guy that was so cocksure of everything. Somebody 43, I can tell you when I was 19, I was cocksure of everything. When I got to be about 30, I said, whoops, I must be wrong. By the time I'm 40, I can reach the point where I said, I'm absolutely, totally confused.
Well, that's amazing. It took you till 19. I knew everything when I was 16. Now I found out I know very little, and I got to document everything to even find out what it is that I really do know.
And you got to scratch your head to make sure you were right in the first place.
That's right.
Okay. In any case, I've got a question for you. You're the man that likes to watch symbolism.
Yes.
Okay. The movie Angel Heart. You also had the movie Total Recall. You got the set of Saturday Night Live and at least three different car commercials. All of them give you a three-bladed horizontal oscillating fan, oscillating slowly. What the hell are they trying to program us for?
Well, I could just start and talk all night and probably on into next year and probably the year following on that. They're trying to program us to accept the return of the old pagan religions, the destruction of the Christian, Islamic, and Orthodox Judaic religions, the concept that there are no national boundaries, that there are no national loyalties, that patriotism is a mental illness, and that everybody has to love each other forever. Don't question, don't be negative, don't rock the boat, everything is cool. We'll take care of you, wipe your diapers, concept type of thing.
Why this three-bladed kind of thing? They're like equilateral to each other. It's almost like the recycle symbol. That's another feedback thing along the same line.
Well, it's not the recycle symbol. If you bend all three of those down, you'll find that you get the top part of a trapezoid.
And if you go back through all the tapes that I've done on these subjects and study what I've told you about the order of the trapezoid and the meaning of the triangle and the generative force and the as above, so below concept, you'll find out what it all means.
Oh, well, give me a tarnished silver star. Me and two other people arrived at this, like saying, you know, they're feeding us a whole hell of a lot of this stuff. What they're doing.
Yep, they sure are.
Okay, well, thank you for your time here, Bill.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Folks, if you go up in an airplane or a helicopter over Washington, D.C., what you'll see is you look down, drawing a line. If you drew a line from the Washington Monument up through that reflecting pool into the Oval Office of the White House, and at the base of the Washington Monument, you drew another line which is perpendicular to that first line, and you look down from the air as the perpendicular line being the base of a triangle, you'll find that that triangle extends from its apex where the two lines join, forming another triangle above it, and the Washington Monument pointing up through the White House up into the upper triangle, sort of like a teepee thing. And then you compare that to the logo of the Luxor, you'll find that they're exactly the same. What does it mean? Well, folks, I could talk for another year about that.
Let me say this about that. I'm not a crook.
Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Sure!
Hawaiian punch is made with seven kinds of fruit for a one-of-a-kind fruit taste.
Isn't that fun? I just love those old commercials. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening. How are you tonight, Bill?
Oh, I'm having a lot of fun here. We're celebrating Tim's birthday, and he's combing whipped cream out of his hair. He ought to leave it in. You can't even tell it's there.
Well, happy birthday to Tim. I just had one of them critters last Friday, so I know how he feels.
Actually, he feels pretty good.
Well, I do, too. I hope he's doing as good as I am.
He's only 38, you know.
Oh, well, he's doing a hell of a lot better than me. Heck of a lot better than me. Sorry about that. Am I gone?
No, you're here.
Okay.
What made you think you were gone?
Well, I said a word there that I didn't mean to.
I didn't hear anything.
Okay.
Did you hear anything, Tim? Annie, did you hear anything? Pooh, did you hear anything? Pooh didn't hear anything.
I'm up here in the Northwest in Washington, and we're keeping as much of an eye on Montana as we can because it's close.
Yeah, you better. You should seal up your borders. Those crazy lunatics might try to come over to your state.
Well, we got some stuff here we'd like to get rid of before we seal them off. There seems to be some confusion. There's at least two incidences going on in Montana. And Linda, the other night, referred to Ravalli County and the Freeman-Trockman incident as if it's the same thing, and it's not.
No, we know they're two different things.
Okay.
But you have to understand, we were getting faxes saying that these two people had been arrested, and they had taken over, the militia of Montana had taken over the courthouse. It was all a lie.
I think that's Hamilton, Montana, Bill.
It doesn't matter where it is. It's
oh, and it's not the same as the one.
What I'm trying to tell you is the only thing that ever comes out of Montana is bullshit lies. So it really doesn't matter where the hell it is. It never happened, but that's what the militia of Montana was telling everybody.
That wasn't the militia of Montana. It's Hamilton, Bill.
When I get a fax that says mom on the top, that's the militia of Montana.
That's the deal at Roundup, Montana.
No. This fax said two women had been arrested. The militia of Montana had taken over The courthouse.
Okay, well, I haven't seen that fax. The local people over there.
Well, come down here. I'll show you about 5,000 others that comes from Montana, all equally bullshit.
We talked to some business people that we've known over there, and they were under the impression it was a local group from Hamilton, and that's all I know is what they said.
Well, you see what's happening. This is your story is the second one tonight about the same incident.
Well, I didn't think it was about the same incident. I thought maybe I could differentiate between the two parts of the state. Well, we're concerned with whatever is happening is that Janet Reno has said there's a bunch of terrorists in Montana, and we're trying to watch it real close, hoping that she doesn't try her rapid deployment force there.
Well, I doubt if she's going to. She doesn't have to. I told you a long time ago that sooner or later those people would hang themselves.
Well, we're...
you don't need a rapid deployment force to go after John Trockman.
Well... we're hoping that there's not...
Now, understand, I'm not talking about the good people up there in Montana. I'm not talking about a lot of the people who probably belong to the militia of Montana that have absolutely nothing to do with disseminating all the lies and bullshit that comes out of there. I'm talking about John Trockman and Bob Fletcher and nobody else.
I understand that. And I'm glad that you said that because I think people lose sight of that sometimes and... feel that things are being directed around that are not just generally thrown. And I'm glad that you did elaborate on that.
Well, I've always elaborated on that. I've always made it clear that
I know.
I'm
like
not talking about
that. You make things clear, and that's what I like about you. Been listening for a year, got the utmost respect, and we're really thankful for what you're doing for everybody. And I hope you can continue. I'm looking forward to another book.
Well, right. If this isn't the same incident that you're talking about that the earlier gentleman was discussing, why don't you tell us what you're talking about?
I am talking about what you just said about two women in Hamilton, Montana. Now, the information we heard from people that live in that area was that it was their local militia that went to the courthouse and somehow got the women released because they weren't, it was mistaken identity or something. And they have had trouble in that county, Ravalli County, with, black helicopters at people's houses and things that have been little bits and pieces in our local news up here, but nobody really knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I know that that has nothing to do with the Freeman Trockman arrest situation in Roundup, Montana, Musselshell County.
Well, we know that also.
Okay, that's...
And we also know that the militia had nothing to do with releasing those people, those two women.
Okay, well, that's what some of the people over there are saying, so it's...
It may have been
to waste your time. I just was hoping I could kind of straighten some things out as far as people thinking it's all one deal.
Oh no, you're not wasting our time, and we know it's not one deal. And there may have been some people who belonged to the militia who were friends of these people who helped straighten that mistaken identity thing out with the women. But it had nothing to do with the militia as the militia. There was no call up of the militia. Nobody took over the courthouse. Nothing. But
I'd agree with that.
But that's what the militia of Montana was telling the world. It was like when when the DEA, one drug enforcement agent, one FBI agent, and five National Guardsmen went over to Catherine County.
Uh-huh.
The militia of Montana was calling a nationwide alert and was asking the militia to march to New Mexico from all the different states because Catherine County had been taken over by military troops, and all of the people were being rounded up and taken off to detention camps. And it was a lie. There was a drug enforcement agent, there was one FBI agent, there were five National Guardsmen, and they were there looking for a dead federal agent after a guy who was arrested on drug charges confessed that he had killed him and stashed his body up in the mountains there. So that's what we get from the militia of Montana. That's why we have no respect for them. We have nothing.
I understand that. And communications are so bad now that it's difficult to separate the wheat from the chaff, and if there is any wheat at all in some of it.
Yeah.
And if that's, I think that's why most of us listen to you.
Well,
because you get to the bottom of stuff, and everything I'm like an earlier guy that said everything I've been able to check on that you've said has turned up to be the righteous stuff, and that's what we need more of.
Well, we do. We need more of it everywhere. But don't ever get to the point where you believe what I say just because I say it.
Oh, no, that's one of the things I appreciate.
Good. Okay.
That's why I like you. Well, thanks for your time, Bill.
Thank you for calling.
Good luck to you. Happy birthday to Tim again.
Thank you, and thank you for Tim.
Good night.
602-337-2524 for all of you out there who are maybe new listeners and don't know the number. Now remember, for the rest of the 24 hours in the day, that number is our fax. So if you want to send us a fax, that's the number you would use unless we're doing a broadcast. We disconnect the fax machine anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes before the broadcast, and we don't connect it anywhere from 15 minutes after until 30 minutes after the broadcast has ended. During the broadcast, it's always our call-in line, and even when we're not taking call-ins, the fax is disconnected so that there's no ringing or anything in the background. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Tom. I'm calling from Indiana, and I wanted to first let you know that I believe I'm going to go ahead and subscribe to Veritas. Sounds like a really good publication.
Oh, I think you're going to love it.
And I had a couple questions. One of them, you know, I live down here and talk to Linda Thompson from time to time, and one question I've got, last year, you know, she called for an armed march on D.C., and then later, like in August, wrote a 9-page letter explaining why she called it off.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe, or did she share with you, I'm just trying to figure out, did she really call the march with the intention of calling it off in order to get people to prepare, or did she call the march, decide it was a bad idea, and then come up with that story afterwards? In other words, I'm not trying to attack her. I'm just trying to find out if you know what the real truth behind that was.
I think it's a combination of all of the above, and I think it's also it enabled us, from my position as a collector of intelligence, to watch the reaction of the government and the movement of military forces during that period of time in preparation for that march. And it gave us an awful lot of information that we could not have obtained in any other way.
Oh, that makes sense. The other question I had for you is I've come into possession of the 105-page letter written by an attorney named Paul Welcher to Janet Reno after the Waco incident occurred.
Yeah, you know he was murdered shortly after that.
Right, and I've heard that he was murdered, and he talks about the mind control stuff, and I don't have too much trouble believing that. I don't have any way to verify it.
Oh, yes, you do. It's all out in the public record, or at least a good portion of it, not all of it. The Congress and the Senate have done investigations into these things, and that's in the public record, and there have been many, many good books written on the subject. I've done several excellent broadcasts on the subject here not long ago in Perspectives Magazine, Perceptions Magazine, I should say. There was an excellent article on mind control in there that connects it directly to this alien abduction bullshit.
Do you believe that the other part of the letter talks about George Bush and a bunch of people flying to France to cut this deal for the Iranian hostages and flying back in an SR-71? Did that really happen?
Well, that's known as the October surprise, and I do not believe that that happened. I do not believe that Reconosciuto or any of those people are legitimate. I don't believe that happened. I don't believe that the guy who said he flew George Bush back in an SR-71 could fly an SR-71. And from what I know about the SR-71 and the tremendous security that surrounds it, you just don't walk out on an airfield not being attached to a particular unit, not having flown on their training missions or participated in any of their requirements for qualifying as a pilot and keeping up your skills and putting in the necessary hours in each aircraft and sign a form and take off in one of their planes. No, my father was a command pilot in the United States Air Force, and I can tell you that doesn't happen.
Doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't work that way at all.
Do you find his explanation of how the people were murdered on the final day inside the Waco compound, does that jive with the fact that you have where they sent in special teams that they injected nerve gas, paralyzed them, shot them, and then set the place on fire with phosphorus grenades?
Well, the video seems to point to that. I mean, we can see people in black uniforms and smoke hoods and breathing apparatus on their back entering and leaving and all kinds of strange things. But I can't tell you that his scenario is fact, because nobody really knows. All we can tell you is in the video, it appears that there were some special forces or special teams that were coming and going, not only before the fire, but after the fire and during the fire, which, according to the federal government, none of that ever happened. But you can clearly see these people in the videotapes.
Based on your inspection of the video, do you think that there was actually flame coming out of the tanks, or do you think they just set the fires afterward and maybe it was hard to tell because of the distance from which the video was shot?
I really don't know, and neither does anyone else. I do know that it looks like a flame. I know that everybody that I've seen, including us, who put it on a computer and tried to analyze exactly what it was unable to tell whether it was a flame or not. All of the videotapes that were put out to debunk Linda Thompson's initial tape were doctored, and we can prove that without any doubt whatsoever. And hers were not. I don't think it really makes any difference. The initial tape, Waco the Big Lie, was what galvanized the nation to really look at Waco with an inspector's eye and discover that they'd been had.
I think that's probably, I agree that the importance of those tapes maybe is not whether that one detail is true or not, but it sure shows a hell of a lot of criminal activity taking place by the government, and it sure did wake a lot of people up, myself included.
And instead of taking advantage of the momentum of that awakening of the American people and putting the pressure on the government and Congress to come out with the truth and punish those who were responsible, looking at the people who attacked Linda Thompson in the tape in order to direct the public's attention away from doing exactly that is illuminating, to say the least. Among many are some that people think are patriots and are really not.
Yeah.
And one of those is Soldier of Fortune magazine.
Yeah, I've got all those copies, and I've been following it pretty carefully, I guess, just because Linda happens to be down here in my backyard, so to speak. So it's been, kind of personal thing to me to follow through on all of it. All right, well, I appreciate talking to you, Bill, and I enjoy listening to your show. And I did talk to Swiss America this morning and didn't buy anything from them, but we're keeping in touch with them.
Great.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. 602-337-2524. You know, if I was going to take over a country of armed men, many of them veterans, many of them highly trained in the art of war and leadership, one of the first things that I would do would be to start some organization or some enterprise or some publication to attract those people so that I could identify them, so that when the time comes, they could be dealt with. And I think that's exactly what Soldier of Fortune is all about. Remember, Bobo Gritz and Beckwith all came from Delta Force. Delta Force wasn't named out of a hat, ladies and gentlemen. Delta has significant meaning in the occult world of the New Age religion. Good evening. You're on the air.
And good morning from over here. What is the significance of, like, underground installations? They're suspected over here in Ohio that they're on the Ravenna Arsenal. Hello?
I'm here.
I thought I heard someone else picking up another line.
Well, you may have. Are you doing anything?
In this house.
Are you saying anything illegal or unlawful?
No.
Then it shouldn't bother you.
Okay. My understanding was at the Ravenna Arsenal over here in Ohio, there's an underground installation. From so many floors down, there would be...
Well, let's not deal in speculation. If you don't know it's there, what you should do is devote your efforts to try and prove whether it is there or not. I can tell you without any doubt whatsoever that there are such installations across the United States. We have documented over 100 of these installations, 75 of which were built back in the 50s and early 60s, and the government claims that they are installations which the president will be taken to in case of a nuclear attack. The truth is, some of them are so far away from Washington he couldn't get there if he wanted to, if there were a real atomic attack, and there are no places around those installations for him to be able to land in any kind of an aircraft that he would leave Washington in order to get there, and a helicopter would not have the fuel nor the speed to be able to escape the consequences of the shockwave and the heat of an atomic attack. So we've documented the funding, everything. Most of this is in my book. I was the one who revealed the secret of Mount Weather and the truth about when it was really promulgated and when it was built and by who and what its purpose is, and the fact that there's a whole parallel government in waiting down there, including a president, vice president, cabinet, agencies of the government, all with, you know, all unconstitutional, all illegal, all unlawful, all funded by black money that gets to the contractors through a circuitous route, and all documented. And the government was so incensed at that revelation in my book that they came out with a movie trying to say that it was the continuity in government program and that none of it was built until the 80s.
I'm wondering, are they more command centers or are they more like...
No, these are cities.
Okay, so I'd say more along the lines of command centers than...
No.
...of the nation.
No. These are cities. These are places for people to go to escape some large catastrophe or revolt of the people or civil war or something. These are places where people can go. They can be sealed up. They are hard sites. They will withstand atomic attack, and they can stay down there for years before they will ever have to open those doors.
Wow. Okay. And also, there was another thing I heard about where cities are connected through underground tunnels.
I have no idea.
Okay.
There's some evidence that that could be true. In fact, some pretty good evidence, but no hard facts that these tunnels exist, except we do have some hard facts that some tunnels were built. There is no proof whatsoever that they connect underground cities, but there have been some huge, gigantic tunnels dug in this country.
Okay. You've explained a lot. I appreciate your help.
Thank you for calling. You asked some good questions.
Thank you.
Well, folks, that's it. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. Happy birthday once again, Tim. I'll be down there in just a couple of minutes with my can of whipped cream and the peaches to go with it.
What walks downstairs alone or in pairs and makes a squeakity sound? A spring, a marvelous thing. Everyone knows it's Slinky. It gives a big lift when wrapped as a gift, a very likable toy. It's falling in place, brings smiles to your face, something kids can enjoy. It's Slinky, for fun it's a wonderful toy. It's Slinky, it's fun for a girl and a boy. And Slinky Mobiles with big Slinky wheels and pistons that move as you go. It makes a great sound when you pull it around. The driver's an old tiny fellow. A Slinky dog, a Slinky train, many more wonderful toys. You tug the string, they do their thing. They're great for girls and boys. They're Slinkies, really wonderful toys.
You ought to see Tim playing with this thing.
Fun for girls and boys.
He's laying on the floor watching it come down the stairs, folks. See you tomorrow night.
Hey, swinger, all right, swinger, swing it up, it's yes, take the shot.